free sidewalk.
What if I say no?
Captain Watson, would you lead us in the pledge to our flag?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Council, a change in the agenda. We'll do the oath of office first, so we can get everybody in order, and then we can do the roll call.
I, Gary Jensen,
do solemnly swear or affirm,
do solemnly swear or affirm
that I will support the Constitution of the United States,
I will support the Constitution of the United States,
and the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington,
the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington,
and that I will faithfully and impartially,
perform
and discharge the duties of the office, of the City of Ferndale Mayor, in and for the County of Whatcom, State of Washington,
according to the law, the best of my ability, so help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Apparently it's not in the right order.
I did a draft lottery pick like the NBA. Doesn't make any sense. All right.
The NBA doesn't make any sense.
I state your name.
I'm Melvin Hanson.
Do solemnly swear or affirm? That I will support the Constitution of the United States. And the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington. And that I will faithfully and impartially. Perform and discharge. The duties of the office of. City of Ferndale Council Position 2. In and for the County of Whatcom.
State of Washington.
According to the law. And to the best of my ability. So help me God. Congratulations. Council Member Ingram, you're up.
Awesome.
Round two. He runs a 4-4-40.
Oh, did you?
I state your name. I, Paul Ingram. Do solemnly swear or affirm
that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
And that I will faithfully and impartially. Perform and discharge.
The
duties of the office of.
City of Ferndale Council Position 4.
In and for the County of Whatcom. State of Washington. According to the law. And to the best of my ability. So help me God. That I will support the Constitution of the United States. And the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington. And that I will faithfully and impartially. Perform and discharge. The duties of the office of. City of Ferndale Council Position 1. In and for the County of Whatcom. State of Washington. According to the law and the best of my ability.
Thank you. Councilor Molson, one more chance.
The advice of my attorney.
Okay, clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson.
Here.
Councilmember Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Muffler.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here. Councilperson Zimmerman has asked to excuse. He had an athletic endeavor that he had to go to with his son, so we're asking permission to have an excuse.
Move to excuse Councilmember Zimmerman.
Second.
Okay, moving second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, person signed up, so go that person first. Then afterwards, I'll just go down and see if anyone else wants to come forward. So welcome because you have signed up. I think it was Kurt that signed up.
Stan?
Yes. We'd like you to stand and say your name and address at the microphone. Both of you. We're very honored. Welcome, welcome.
Patty and Sarah Sullivan. We live at 2763 Thornton in Ferndale. And we volunteer at the Holiday Giving Store. $6,800 was raised for the Holiday Giving Store, with over $1,100 of that from Mountain View sixth graders alone. A lot of personal donations, anonymous donations, and over 700 children were helped. Sarah and I worked many days setting it up and giving out toys and books and warm clothes, and I'm pretty proud of Burnout.
Way to go.
Good.
We had to save.
Do you have any words to say? Very good job. Way to go. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having us.
See you later. Go home and study hard. Okay, try to top that. Anyone else in the audience? She beat you in the back, but you'll be right next to
okay.
Welcome, welcome.
Carol Barsh, 5694 Correll Drive, number 102, here in Ferndale. I'm not sure this is the place, but it's the milk boards allowed on the sidewalks. I always bring mine in the shop at night, but there are those that are left out at night, and some of them are folded down and set on the ground and or sidewalk, which I stumbled on two of them on my walk to Hagen's in the dark this morning. So I don't know if this is something that this,
like eight boards, like
the sandwich boards.
Sandwich boards.
Yeah. Okay. Find Your Fashion, Domino's Pizza's right in that area on the sidewalk.
Okay.
On my way to the Starbucks.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So Jory's right at the Jory response to
the A-frames, A-boards, sandwich board signs are illegal off-site and cannot obstruct traffic on sidewalks. It would appear that what you've described matches one or both of those, so we will investigate. For clarification, generally at Ferndale Station, it sounded like?
Right,
okay.
Right.
Okay. Well,
just they were on the sidewalk, not in the grass or anything, so, and I did trip over. It could be a liability.
Oh, absolutely.
Or
yeah.
Somebody.
We'll get right on that.
John?
Since Carol's here, and she didn't come up here for this purpose, but Carol had a day where you brought in cans of food or donations?
I did a food drive at my shop, Carol's Cake Designs, on the 21st.
You should let
of
me promote.
Wednesday.
Sounds better if somebody else is doing it for
there
you.
There you go. I didn't
but
know
I wanted to thank you for doing that and raise some money and some food for the food bank. And I walked out with a lot of cupcakes, so thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Thank you for doing that.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Guy in Tracasso, Ferndale Chamber, 5683 2nd Avenue, and I just want to come up and enter or invite all of you to our annual banquet. It serves as our annual meeting and awards banquet and, I guess, installation meeting in the event we have a new president. That is two Thursdays from now, January 19th, at the casino. I know many of you have attended in the past, and so I just wanted to formally invite all of you, and I think the little postcards are making their way around. And, yeah, if you'd like to come, please just call the office or email me or whatever works. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Guy, is Chase doing their grand opening this Friday?
Yes, the ribbon cutting is actually at 1 o'clock, so all of you are invited. Their grand opening is actually Saturday. It's, I think, the 7th, which when we're taking down Holiday Lights, I know all of you will be in a retreat. And then also next week, Thursday, I think that's the 12th, KeyBank is actually having their ribbon cutting after hours, and that'll be 5. So.
Okay, anyone else? move on. Council, I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay. Next up, contract for RH2, Public Works Director. Welcome, welcome.
Good evening. Janice Marlega, Public Works Director. And in May of 2011, Council approved a consultant contract with RH2 Engineering to provide consultant services for our well water supply project, Schedule A, the facilities. And I had set that contract up with a sort of in phases. And the first phase covered May through December. And so now that work has been completed, and we're moving into the next phase. And so it would be January, February, March. And so this contract amendment, I've negotiated with RH2, and we're looking at $130,000. I think at the committee I said around $125,000, but we were still negotiating. So that's where we're at, and that will cover additional inspection services. They'll be working on our as-built drawings, providing just construction oversight and administration. So just seeking council approval on the contract amendment.
Councilperson Lexler?
Is that on about the amount that we expected on this phase?
Well, I was thinking, we started out a little higher, kind of went back and forth on as far as the hours for inspection services. So I cut that back a little bit, and then we still had to work out on number of hours on the as-built drawings. So we ended up with 130.
I move the adoption of Agenda Bill 12-1002.
I'll second that.
Okay, second. Further discussion?
How are we within budget on that?
Yes, we're actually probably under budget right now.
That's good. And the water tastes great.
And the water tastes great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, seeing no further discussion, all in favor of this motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 6-0.
Okay, the next item up, we have a condemnation ordinance in front of City Council tonight, and this is for parcel number, I'll read just the site address. It's 2353 Mountain View Road. And as you're aware, this Main Street project is the city's number one priority right now, and we have design, right-of-way acquisition, and permitting underway right now. And our current schedule is to go for bids on 1st of April. And in order to do that, we need to keep things moving along on our right-of-way acquisition. And we've reached an agreement on a majority with the majority of the property owners. There's one where we've made the offer a number of times, but we just haven't been able to move the negotiations forward. And so at this time, we're recommending that council approve this ordinance and so that we can start this process in order to stick with our scheduled add date.
Would you mind explaining to all of us, maybe we have young people here that maybe don't know what this is about, which I think is very interesting, what this means to a property owner, and also what would it mean to the city should we decide to not go forward with that stretch of the street, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What are the options and what are the implications of some of those options of an action like this? So basically we are demanding, with compensation, to take some land from a private citizen, in essence.
Correct.
For public.
Because as working through the design process for the Main Street project, we've identified the right-of-way needs required in order to construct that project. And so then what we've been doing is negotiating with each property owner, after determining what the what they call like just compensation would be for that strip of property. And so once that offer's made, then we usually go back and forth and talk to them a few times and try to address any questions, comments, or concerns that they have. And then we hope to move through the process in order to acquire all the rights that we need for construction. And we need to obtain those rights prior to actually, going to construction, because we have to have the right to get on that property. And so sometimes, things can take a little bit longer. You know, we can hit kind of a few snags, and we just try to work through those. And sometimes you can work through the negotiations, or you may have to use the process in place, which is eminent domain, which then this ordinance just starts that process.
And if a citizen just continues to say no, 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 how does it kind of play out down the road there?
Yeah. So what we can ask for is an agreement that they call a possession use agreement. And so, because it's basically you get to a point where the property owner, they know that we're going to get the property, but we just haven't agreed on the price. So it's saying, okay, we're going to agree to disagree right now, but in order for you to move forward with your project, you know, I'm going to sign this possession and use agreement. You can move forward with your project. Meanwhile, we'll keep meeting and trying to reach an agreement on the final price.
Yeah, but does he have an ability to stop the project? And does he have any course to stop the project?
Not entirely. But let's say if you didn't, City Council did not sign this condemnation ordinance, then we have like no control over the schedule. So we could keep trying to move the negotiations forward, but you have to invest a lot of time.
I'm assuming that the council, votes in favor of condemnation.
Okay.
Does he have any mechanism to stop the project?
No.
Okay. Thank you. But he will get paid.
Yes.
Ingram and Watson.
Yeah, and I think it's important, too, especially for the students in the audience, that this may be the first time they've actually run up against this, to understand that, if I'm correct, by law, we cannot offer more than the appraised fair market value.
That's correct. That's our initial offer.
Right.
But there's assumptions that are made, with that initial offer. Let's just say with the value of the trees. So that there, the property owner, they're given an allowance so that they can evaluate the city's offer. So then they may hire like an arborist to take a look at those trees. And so then they may come back with a counteroffer.
Yeah.
Watson.
Yes, I just have two questions. I'm assuming we can't go forward with the project if we didn't get that particular piece of land. You couldn't just have that part where there was no sidewalk?
No.
And how much of the land are we taking? Are we just taking enough for the sidewalk?
Yes.
Okay. So we're not asking to take a whole bunch of
We have enough for the sidewalk, and then there's a little bit of a slope that's on the back of the walk. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, we're not taking additional right away for any like future widening.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Approximately how many property owners have you negotiated with, signed agreements, and moved forward to date?
There's a total of
21 properties that need to be acquired outright by purchase. Some of those have the same owner, and
so up until this point, you had agreement with every property owner but one.
But not, they haven't been finalized. But at least there's we at least are in negotiations. Right, whereas this one here, it's just been kind of the one way, where we haven't gotten any response at all. Okay. Here's the offer, we're waiting.
Councilperson Hansen, and then we'll go to the city administrator.
Well, there's one additional thing that everyone needs to realize. We went through this with WTA on one of the sites in Bellingham that WTA had to have. If you condemn a piece of property and if it goes all the way to the court, you are correct. The property, in the meantime, you can build. We get that mm-hmm. right to build, but the price hasn't been settled. And that could go as much as a year or two after the project's already done. The court ends up settling the price. The interesting thing is that the city's final offer is if the court sets the price and it's 10% over the city's final offer, the city gets to pay a landowner's attorney's fees. So it behooves the city to get the fair market value as close as possible. Otherwise, we get to pay those extra attorney's fees. If it's within that 10%, the landowner pays their own attorney's fees, and we pay our own attorney's fees. So there's some fairness built into this whole process. It's not just as some would have it, you know, we're going to go out and grab that person's land and take it away from them, and they don't have much recourse. The law actually favors the property owner in many respects.
Yeah, the question was asked is how much we're taking of it. On the sheet that has the actual photograph on it, you can see that the area, his lot is about 43,000 square feet. Of this, we're asking for 1,400 square feet, or about 3%. So we're asking for 3% of his lot, and, of course, it's naturally up against the roadway.
I was confused by the proposed construction easement designation, what that meant.
Yeah.
That's just temporary, just a little bit of additional area that we need just during construction.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. And that's restored, and the property owner retains, they have retained ownership. Yeah.
But on that sheet where it says proposed take of 1,421, mm-hmm. that's the actual amount that we're considering condemnation.
Councilperson Nussler.
Do you mind asking what would be market value of what would be a fair offer for that 1,400 from the city?
Okay to provide that.
Can talk about the ranges that we've currently.
Yeah, because on this one for this.
And that's okay.
Probably wouldn't be.
Want to thank staff. I know this can't be easy to do that, and I'd like to move the adoption of Agenda Bill 1201-003. Thank the staff for. Can't be easy.
Yeah. I'll second the motion.
Moved and seconded. Further discussion? Seeing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Thank you, Council. Okay, we're going to change the agenda a little bit. We're going to move capital projects up. So we'll move projects up to our next item. We'll start with police station update.
Police station's going well. We actually had our construction meeting today. Here probably in the next few weeks, I want to try to organize another walkthrough for everyone because it's really pretty much, I'd say 99% of the drywall is up. It's mudded. It's taped. They're starting to put in some of the ceilings now, so the spaces are truly getting divined, if you will. The doors, door frames are in. I mean, we're really getting down to really some of the work. A little bit more work than that. The heating, air conditioning continues. The electrical continues. These type of things always take quite a bit longer. Anyone who's built a house knows that it takes a considerable amount of time once you get the building closed in to actually get everything done. But otherwise, it's moving along fairly well. We've had, up till now, fairly good weather. It's been both warm and dry, so that's been the advantage. The building is now sealed from the standpoint that the roof is completely done. So all the work now being done in this phase is on the interior. We do hope to go out to bid for the civil portion, that's the outside parking lot, and what have you here relatively soon. And the architect is beginning to work on the furnishings and fixtures and equipment for the station. So otherwise, it's moving along. It really is. The EIFS, that stucco exterior, we had some issues. You remember the front curb part was tarped, and they've done the repairs. It's now repaired, and it looks very nice, so we're pleased with the outcome.
Any questions on police station? Seeing none, you want to roll right into the library? That would be probably a short one.
Yeah, library's real short. Really nothing really new on the library. We just continue to strategize, as we've reported previously, on the fundraising for 2012. But otherwise, it's the project is pretty much ready for permitting and fundraising to continue, and then eventual construction. We did get, we did actually get the permit for the eventual stormwater work for that site, so that's always something good to have in hand, because those type of permits can be somewhat time-consuming when you're talking about working next to a body of water, but that's all in place now, so it continues to roll forward.
Okay, we'll ask Katie to come forward to the microphone and she'll do the review on the rest of the projects. Councilperson Olson, it was interesting that you mentioned that the project is coming under budget. It should be noted that it's a trend in Ferndale since Janice has become Public Works Director and Katie's become the project manager that projects are coming under budget, which in Councilperson Olson, remember in the past, that wasn't always. always the case. So it's a new trend that we'd like to continue.
Can you meet?
She didn't ask for a raise. Just based on
10%.
Yeah.
That's my one and only job.
That's not a bad method of doing it.
We should make that a assignment position on Saturday.
You're doing well.
Light
things. Boy, that's out of focus. My eyes are worse than I thought.
Got a bunch of old people.
Perfect.
Thanks, Sam. Yeah. So as far as updates go, Main Street acquisition is moving right along. We are meeting with all the property owners. We're making very good progress. As Janice talked about earlier, we've met with the majority of folks, and I think for the most part, people are very supportive of the project. We're able to reach agreement on right-of-way acquisition on the majority. We've got some that right-of-way acquisition takes time, so we'll be continuing to meet with the property owners and move forward with that process, but we're right on schedule. As far as the design goes, we are meeting with the overhead utility companies and underground too, I guess, in the case of Cascade Natural Gas, tomorrow to start talking about utility relocation as part of the project. So they'll be aware that the project's on schedule, and they'll need to adjust their utilities where necessary. And also scheduled for this week is a walkthrough with the designers and public works staff to go over the design as it is presently, walk the site, see if there's any issues, just part of the process of getting the plans to where they need to be before we go out to bid. So that's Main Street in a nutshell. Yes, sir.
You don't have to
I do, but last time I used it, I think I pointed it at somebody.
I was just curious because that map in our packet is really kind of sketchy to me. And what is the piece of property that we just...
Oh, no.
Is it
the red
this one?
Yeah.
Is that right there?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, it's right between the new apartment buildings and then if, where Leuenbergers live there.
That one's easy. You can just walk it. We have the new sidewalk that was put in at the where condos now apartments, so you can kind of, that's an easy one to just follow the sidewalk.
Just follow the sidewalk and see where it goes.
Well, that's a good one.
We're going to do well project later, but I actually...
Well, we're going to do it now.
I have a photo of...
I thought that was bourbon in that wallet.
But, anyway, are there other questions on Main Street?
Can I ask one question?
With that up.
Katie, I want how soon do you start letting people know in the city that Main Street's going to be under construction for a certain time period? How much warning will you give people?
The general public?
The general public.
Usually we wait until, we're ready to go out to bid.
Okay.
And then, what's that?
In spring then?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then once we get a contractor on board, then we really try to amp that up and let people know. Because when you send projects out to bid, the contractor has the right to determine their schedule and how they're going to do the order of work. So a lot of times you don't want to get too far ahead because if you give people the wrong information, that's more irritating than giving it to them a little bit more.
Thank you.
Sure.
Did I just separate you two? I will separate you two. Go ahead.
Is there any other questions?
She's already taking charge.
I taught middle school.
Next is the well water supply project. I'll let Janice talk about that. We What Friday was that? Gary had been asking incessantly, is it new water? Is it new water? So the first day that we had water running out of the plant, I met up with the treatment plant operator, and we poured Gary a bottle of Ferndale's new, brand new, great tasting water. So.
And you can really tell at the tap.
Oh, yeah.
You really can tell.
I have had a lot of people say, boy, that was worth every penny.
They did give me a nicer glass, though. They gave me a champagne flute, but I guess they didn't trust me.
Let you borrow it.
They took it away right away.
For sure.
The next project is the Eaton, Somerset, Willard, and Washington, a.k.a. Griffintown Sewer Project. Carl Kircho has been doing a really, really great job on this project. I don't know if you've ever traveled down these alleys in the Griffintown area. It is extremely narrow. The ground is sandy. It does not hold up well, and it is slow. Just disgusting work. I mean, you know, when you're working in live sewer, they're having to either pump around or, you know, deal with sewage flows. They've done really well. We've had a few concerns with the neighbors, but I think, you know, people have been very supportive, and the project's been going really well. As far as the schedule goes, they're pretty much done. They're doing the cleanup work, and they've got the north-south and both east-west sewers complete. We were able, because we're able to keep on top of our budget, we've got a really good inspector on site that really has the city's best interest at heart in as far as saving money goes. So a lot of times we're able to do a few little extra things that maybe we didn't have planned as part of the project. So in this case, we're replacing two old, they're called burp tanks, manholes, and they're antiquated systems that they work like a clean out. You fill the manhole up with water, and there's a concrete lid over the sewer line. And once it fills up with a certain amount of water, the lid lifts, forces water down the system, cleans the system out. So it's like I said, it's an antiquated system, so we're able to replace the burp tank there just south of Eaton on Portal, and then there's another burp tank on Cedar at the very north end that we're able to replace. That work should probably start, I think, Thursday? Tomorrow and Thursday. So these should be completely wrapped up with this project. Depending on if the weather cooperates, they'll do some asphalt paving probably on Thursday, but they'll be completely cleaned up, manholes grouted, and all that sort of thing by mid to end of the week next week.
Questions for Katie?
No? Keep cracking that whip.
Weather-wise on that project.
Yes, they do.
Church Road's pretty brief right now, or for the most part of this last couple months. Our focus has really been on Main Street in order to get the right-of-way that we need in order to move forward with that project. But we do have, I don't remember the exact number, we do have 60-some property owners that we're talking with on Church Road, and we're starting to send out, we actually had city staff and the design engineers had met with pretty much all of the property owners along the Church Road project just to kind of go over the project, find out if individual property owners had questions or concerns, anything that we could address up front. And now what we're doing is we're sending out offer letters. So we've met with at least a couple property owners, and we'll be scheduling those ongoing here in the next month or two.
Wasn't there an issue with the property was at Church of Maine that was under foreclosure or something? Where do we stand? Because trying to find out who was going to do that right away and things.
Yeah, we're actually talking with those new property owners. There's two properties. There's the Triumph Lutheran Church on the corner, and then the property that went back to the bank. It was sold at a foreclosure sale. The new property owners actually live off the, there's a joint driveway, I think it's the same one that goes to the Montessori. So they bought that property, and so we are meeting with those property owners and negotiating for not only the portion that we need on Main Street, but the portion that we need for Church Road as well. So that's underway.
Mr. Ingram?
Katie, we've discussed in the past the fact that we're going to need to rebuild that short stretch of importance from Gula to Vista before we can do church. Is there any right of way we need to be looking at in that little stretch? Because I know there's sidewalks on one side, but not on the other.
That's a good question, and I don't have that answer right now. I don't know if Janice knows.
Yeah, my understanding that we have the right of way that we need for the street, but storm maybe was a question. If we had to cite some kind of
else up, Church?
This one wasn't on the list, but I wanted to add it just because this project's pretty much complete. It's the 2nd and Malloy Avenue sidewalk project, and when we first went out to bid, I was kind of a little freaked out because it's like almost a mile of sidewalk, and that is a lot of property owners right close to the road, and I thought, oh, no, this is going to be terrible. And the community has been so supportive of this project. It's awesome. So the sidewalk was pretty much in. The hard portion of the sidewalk was in before Christmas. All that's left, the general contractor, Larry Brown Construction, they're done and off-site. But this has really been a partnership, not only with the private contractor, but in order to save the taxpayers some money, the Public Works Department, our maintenance folks, they've been doing quite a bit of work out there. In fact, they're filling on the back of the sidewalk. They're up there today, again, putting in, I think, topsoil and sand. Something else I wanted to point out is this gentleman here. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to meet him. Art Longstreth is a really good inspector, and he's worked for the city for quite some time. And anyway, he has done an amazing job on this project. And it's the guy's mind's always going, and he can look at stuff, think about it, wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning and is like, oh, I know how I can fix this. How are we going to get the water over there? Drives me crazy, but this project is so much better because Art was on it. And it really came at a pretty good time because with Art normally does the development inspection for private development, so this is the first project that he's done inspection for the city, and on top of that, this is a federally funded project, and if you know anything about that, there is a lot of paperwork involved, and Art's not really, paperwork isn't his favorite thing, but I think, again, I just wanted to point out Art's role in this project and how well it's turned out. Again, the community members have been very supportive, very, very encouraging and enthusiastic, and we now have a sidewalk where one didn't exist all the way from Vista to, is that Jensen?
Oxford
Court. So it's like 4,000 feet of sidewalk.
Councilperson Olson?
I live right off of that area there, and that guy was there in the wee hours in the morning and the late hours at night all the time. So he put in a lot of time.
He did.
Assuming that the topsoil that's being laid is going to be seeded in March.
Yeah, in fact.
On both sites, inside and outside.
Right. We're actually going to. It should be seeded on Thursday, I believe. Hydroseeded. The soil needs to be stabilized for the winter time for the DOE.
Seeded or just mulched?
Mulched with, I believe, winter wheat. An annual, and then it'll
die.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Councilor Nelson,
are we going to be able to talk to the? Some of it is pavement, some of it is the grass area, but people are parking all over that stuff. Until you put those pay barrier things in there,
mm-hmm.
That seems to have subsided now.
Yeah, I kind of drove up there. Well, I drove up there today to take some photos, and there are a couple areas it looks like that need to be raked out because some people, you know, drove off
the holidays. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's unfortunate. We'll have to touch that up as we go.
Yeah, I know. That we're going to have to emphasize that there's no room for parking. If you look at the street side of the sidewalk, between that and the street, or the fog line, if you will, there's not enough room for people to park there.
Are you, but like on that picture, are you saying people are trying to fit
yes.
that little strip there?
They
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over the holidays.
Well, when they had company over the holidays, there was a lot of cars parked.
Oh, they were parked in the street?
Yeah.
It was right
on. Over the fog. Yeah. Or
oh,
the park on the sidewalk.
Yeah, that was going on quite a bit, too. Yeah.
Some education.
So I do have a couple of photos just before and after. The first portion of the project was the sidewalk on 2nd Avenue, basically linking up ConocoPhillips to the Boys and Girls Club. Then we've got Malloy looking north from just north of Vista. And that's looking south from, I think it's Sunrise?
Yes, about where that looks like.
So you're just before
Johnson's old house.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's looking at the same spot, only looking north.
Hey, Katie, mm-hmm. are these shots on the city's website so people can see what y'all have been up to?
Not yet.
It'd be nice because it's really nice before and after pictures.
We usually put a lot of stuff on Facebook, too.
Yeah.
I hate Facebook.
Anyway, thank you.
People have a lot more viewers on Facebook than we do.
I know, I'm old.
You're not a viewer.
Okay, next up is...
I don't want
an action presentation and discussion. Well, we could.
I need to just come here today. Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Council. So the first thing we have for you is just an introduction to the planned action ordinance. Again, there is not going to be any action tonight because the Planning Commission is also being introduced to things a few weeks prior to you. We anticipate that the Planning Commission is going to have their public hearing on the planned action either later this month, but more than likely early next month, soon after, followed by council action. We want to just provide you, starting on page 55, with a sample of what the planned action ordinance could look like. And as you can see, it's five or six pages. A lot of it is the recitals talking about the whereases of the ordinance itself. And as you might expect, the ordinance focuses a lot on transportation because transportation in the planned action area was the most substantial portion of discussion and the most costly mitigation improvements. Just for an idea of what this planned action ordinance is, last meeting you voted on the overall vision of the area. The planned action ordinance is intended to put that vision into effect. Since a lot of our development regulations and our development standards were deemed adequate to review and process these various different developments, it is really that transportation component that needs the extra oomph that the planned action ordinance could provide. As we go through the process with the Planning Commission and Council, though, we may identify additional triggers or specific triggers at which point the city would need to start initiating the design phase of a roundabout or a signal, the design phase possibly, if we so chose, to initiate improvements to some of our other facilities, and so on and so forth. So wanted to bring this to you, see if you have any questions at this early stage, and then we'll be able to move on as we go through the Planning Commission and Council process.
Councilperson Mutchler, then Watson.
So at what point do we tackle the trip, peak hour trip fee?
It's a great question. We would like to talk about both of them more or less at the same time, but through separate actions, obviously. The planned action ordinance is going to be able to deal with whatever impact fees we actually have in place at the time, and there's probably going to be language that says the city's impact fee in place at the time shall apply to development within this area. Unless we choose to go in a different direction. But they are part and parcel of the same conversation.
Obviously. So it's possible we could adopt the enacted ordinance, which would include a $2,300 trip fee, and then we might at another meeting make a change or something.
Or maybe, you know, reverse the two. That, I think that's something that we can talk about on Saturday.
Yeah. In fact, I was going to say that the our traffic impact fee currently $2,300. It's a separate standalone ordinance. We have a traffic impact fee based upon the work that Transflo did for our citywide infrastructure. We can amend our traffic impact fees at any point in time. So we will have the planned action ordinance, which may indeed trigger a add-on fee for peak hour PM trips within the planned action area. but they don't have to be done at the same time. If you just adopt the plan action ordinance and someone comes in, they'll pay $2,300 because that's the rule. So as the months and the years roll by, we can adjust our traffic impact fee both within the plan action area, citywide. We can create other little areas, Slater or something like that. So they're two separate but very much interrelated documents. But this plan action ordinance is the mechanism through which a project lands on your desk and you say, does it fit or doesn't it fit? And then it says if it fits, it's going to trigger certain things, one of it being traffic impact fees, which are found in a separate document.
It seems to me this is the most helpful device now for developers. They need this. This is what they would see when they come in. This is actually codifies what we expect from them.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And one of the things that's going to go hand in hand with this, on page 66, you have a kind of process that the developments will go through. And so when someone comes in, we will review their application. And as part of this, we're going to identify a tracking mechanism to track the cumulative impacts and cumulative trips, so on and so forth. We'll also identify a SEPA checklist or a supplemental SEPA checklist that people can go through in order for us to make the determination that yes or no, do they comply with the bookends of the planned action.
So maybe you said this already, but when do you think we'll be tackling the impact, peak hour impact fee?
In February
sometime.
Probably, maybe early March.
That was a big, getting to $2,300 was tough. It was a lot of work and a lot of, so I guess for me, this council member, the more information the better on that. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's because we can do them at the same time. We can do one before the other. We'll be talking, and maybe again at the retreat, we can talk more about this. There might be some value to maybe bring the impact fees through first and then follow with a plan action or vice versa. I mean, both of them are incumbent upon you. The traffic impact fees do not go through the Planning Commission. True?
Since impact fees, those impact fees are Growth Management Act related, they do need to go
they
through
do. Planning. Okay. So we'll need to run both those through the Planning Commission. So that'll affect the timing probably more.
Can you
than
explain that? Because we didn't, the last time when we brought them up to $2,300, that didn't go through the Planning Commission.
As we've gone through our reviews, we've clarified the procedures, and they should go through the Planning Commission.
Mm-hmm. Councilperson Watson and Goodrich?
Basically, it's the same question. I was trying to figure out when we would, if the triggers are caused by the planned action, do we do the planned action, then figure out what triggers? So then we'll discuss triggers, or we discuss triggers first? So I guess if we're going to discuss it at the retreat, we can figure out what's easiest for staff and for us.
Yeah. They really are interrelated. The purpose of the planned action ordinance is to simply set the framework through which a developer can come in with a proposal and say, either I fit within the four corners of the planned action or I don't. That's what this is really designed for. Even though the environmental impact statement informed the planned action ordinance, the EIS really has the effect, and we'll be dealing with this in the near future, of helping us determine what those impact fees, those traffic impact fees, could be. We've had a meeting with both Transpo and the Burke consultants who helped us with that, and they are now working on and have helped us kind of get an idea of what the bookends or what the low range, high range for an add-on traffic impact fee could be. We'll need to have that discussion with you because two things, really. One is that we've all realized this. We can't put 100% of the cost on the developers because traffic other than the developers' traffic is going to be on the street. And the second thing is that whatever we don't decide to charge the developers, we would have to pay for. So, you know, if you give one, you get the other. So that's going to be, I think, with the help of our consultants, I think we're probably going to be able to zero in on what you all consider to be that appropriate balance between how much should come out of the developers' pockets through traffic impact fees, how much should come out of the city coffers, either through sales tax, the potential for the transportation benefit district, and perhaps for some larger sales tax-generating entities or developers, maybe some sort of a rebate. So all of those will probably be factored together and molded, and you'll have the ability then to come up with what you all consider to be the most appropriate combination.
And what one of the things that we're talking about with concurrency, which is kind of the third leg of the stool. Concurrency basically requires that we make an improvement before or quickly following level of service decreasing below our adopted level. When we're identifying triggers in here, we probably want to identify triggers quite a ways before that actually occurs so that we can initiate that design and we can actually move forward so that we never have to actually stop development. That goes into the 6-year versus the immediate concurrency that we've talked about. But it also depends upon, as the city administrator was saying, what your comfort level is. If we say we're going to start initiating a certain phase at the 500th trip, how much revenue through impact fees will we have gotten, and what's the council's comfort level? We might be a third of the way there in anticipation that sales tax will bring us the rest of the way in TBD, but that's going to be a policy decision as much, if not more, than a technical decision.
Councilperson Goodrich?
I was thinking that you already took over mind reading during the vacation, because I was just going to ask about concurrency, because that's my pet thing, and we reference concurrency in this, and I have a hard time supporting this unless we deal with concurrency as well, because to me, immediate is not realistic.
And
I keep hearing we're going to deal with it, but it never seems to be coming forward to us.
Well, and you, over the vacation, have done a great job with segueing to the next topic. So if there aren't any, we would also like to talk more about this on Saturday at the retreat. But in order for community development staff to do the best job that we can for you and for the Planning Commission, we need you to tell us what your priorities are. And rather than spending a lot of time discussing this now, I think that we can discuss it more on Saturday. But we've identified a number of different projects that have been talked about, have been kind of floating around. Some of them really aren't that well defined. Some of them are. Some of them are sexy. Some of them are incredibly boring. But concurrency is one of those, and depending on which council member you are, it might be a high priority or might be a low priority. But if you have any questions, please ask them. Or save them for Saturday.
Yeah, no, you're right, because that's what I was going to say. Basically, what this compromises is going to be our must do, should do, could do list. And so kind of talking about it now is redundant. We'll be nailing this down Saturday.
Yeah.
I think we'll be able to do a pretty good job. But I would encourage everybody on the council to don't ignore this until Saturday. Look at this a little bit now and then every day and start to get your idea wrapped around what you might want to do. That would make Saturday a lot easier.
It was a long meeting, our last council meeting. Didn't we deal with concurrency in some measure? Did we make any changes at that point, or did you just talk about it?
You did. You created a policy wherein you would consider, you were telling yourselves, your future selves, that you were going to consider changing your concurrency regulations from immediate to up to 6 years. But you didn't actually change the concurrency regulations.
I was only going to suggest as we go through the must, should, and could do list, there's an element of brainstorming in that, where, and I'm assuming it's going to be similar to what we've done in the past, where all of us get to throw all of our dream projects on the table. And then we start sorting those out. Some of those may well be things that the staff hasn't thought of yet that will affect what the planning process will need to do. In other words, we could come up with something that's going to need to go to the Planning Commission and then come back to us and be developed that we haven't even thought of yet. So I'm just throwing that out. This is not necessarily an exhaustive list.
No, absolutely. The whole goal and the retreat is going to do this through that would, should, could list is to make sure that we don't have something come up in August that you say, where did this ever come from? It's to give early and consistent direction to staff, the Planning Commission, and the public as far as what your expectations are, recognizing that there are going to be some things that surprise us over the next 11 and a half months.
Councilperson Watson?
I'm assuming if I have a new pet project, I should tell you how we're going to pay for it. So I'm allowed to bring my pet projects to you, or do we have to tell you how to
pay? That always happened in the past.
Oh, so I can just bring
them?
Yeah. Like a little wish list?
Yeah.
Cool.
This is exactly what it is.
Okay.
Later we tell you we can't pay for it.
Oh, okay.
And then they tell them, how are you going to fund that? And we kind of scratch our heads and go, well.
You're just going to tease me. Okay.
And then remind you for the next 4 years of your idea.
I do have a request, because I'd like to have if the city administrator can put his fingers on it. The last time we did the process, we have the must, should, and could.
Way ahead of you.
Okay, because I think we're going to be enlightened to see how much of it has actually been picked up and taken care of.
Yeah, in fact, I pulled out all of our old must, should, and could. Okay. So I think we have three or more sets of them.
Okay.
Can you send them ahead of time so we can look for me?
Sure. What I'm doing now is I'm going through them and then kind of putting little notes as to if it was done, how much of it was done, or so you can kind of get an idea that, we wanted to build a police station, and by golly, we're building a police station, those type of things.
Okay. Great. Okay, thanks, Barry. Okay, next up is mayor comments. So we have the retreat starting at 8 a.m. Saturday morning. We'll have light breakfast there. We'll have some coffee there. The only thing I'll caution staff, please remember, you'll come in the entrance, basically the east side entrance, the new AD entrance. You can enter the meeting room there. Please, if no one's not noticing, don't walk into the main library area, because that area is still alarmed and it's set up more hours than that. The library doesn't open until 10.
Oh, that's two right.
2 hours, you know, so just... That library, that door doesn't lock on this side, so don't.
Okay.
So if I'm not around watching, don't walk on that. That'd be a $100 charge for a false alarm.
That's right.
That's whoever walks through there, so don't do that. Okay, and then, Council, I'd like to consider a resolution, suggestion for you to consider a resolution where this City Council would support. The school district election coming up, obviously a little controversy. We have two subjects on there. It's been suggested that we could do a council resolution supporting the school district position, so I'd like you to consider that. We'll discuss a little more on Saturday, but I'm going to give you a little heads up to be thinking about that. So. Okay. Council reports. Councilperson Goodrich.
I just have a question. I don't know who this would get directed to, but in light of our last council meeting, I was very disappointed in the fact that the council voted to go home, and we had staff that had come, we had people in the audience that were here, and we just packed up and walked out on them, and I don't think that's right. And I would like to see our council rules changed in some way so that we don't have to go through this another 5 minutes, another 10 minutes, motion this, that we were elected to come in here and do the business of the city, and I don't think we need to stay until 1 o'clock in the morning like the county does, but I think we need to stay and finish what's on our agenda, and I'd like to see somehow the rules amended so we don't have to go through all this voting and things, and we can finish what we need to do. I personally would like to get out early, because I get up at 5:30 in the morning to go to work. I don't know if anybody else goes to as a working person, but I'm one of the working people, and So I sympathize with getting done and let's go, go home. But on the other hand, if we're paying staff to be here to make presentations and things, I think it's our duty to hear those presentations and hear what the public has to say on issues and not just get up and walk out. So I don't know how we need to go about doing this. But
The clerk and I have had probably three separate meetings on some different issues in terms of making the meeting run differently, and so we have some ideas that we'll throw at you Saturday in terms of changing the parameters of how we do the meeting. The first one that we'll throw at the one that we've thought about is that would probably speed up the process is go back to our original system where we do public comment, and it's not just you talk on what's on the agenda and what's not on the agenda, always on the public comment period. Right at the start of a meeting, and then maybe you don't get as reactionary during the meeting. And that seemed to, if we looked back and, you know, Mel and I talked about this, is that that seemed to be a faster process in the past. We only changed it when a reporter from the Bellingham Herald challenged us on how we're doing it.
And now I want to change it back.
What was he thinking? But that would be maybe the one suggestion is we do the City of Bellingham does it exactly that way. The Whatcom County Council does it that way, is all comments are at the start of the meeting. It sometimes would extend that, but that might be a deal. So we can have some time. We have a little bit of time tonight. We can kind of discuss that. Councilperson Olson, then Mr. Sir.
Two things.
Thanks.
I think you're...
you were there. I'm sorry.
Yeah. What's his name? See first?
No. No, you go.
I think your recollection is incorrect. We voted, and there were 4 votes not to continue the meeting. Once it was determined there was no motion, then that side prevailed, and that's when everyone left. It's not like we just abandoned it. We had a vote. The 4 people who voted not to continue won that bet. The second thing, maybe if we you and I have talked about this, maybe if we keep the comments to the time limit, we wouldn't have gotten ourselves into that situation.
Sorry.
Because there was way too much blah, 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 repeating over and over, and nobody called time out on them. And I think that drug it out to the point where everybody got ticked off. So maybe if we pay closer attention to the timeline, we won't get ourselves in that situation.
Councilperson Ingram.
Just a couple of quick things. I would just like everybody to be aware of that on Saturday, January the 21st, Ferndale Kiwanis Club will be having a baby food drive for the food bank at Hagen's from 10:30 until 3. Anybody comes by can just run in and drop money in the jar, or they can run in and buy baby food, and it all goes to the food bank for baby food. Second thing is, the 20th of January at 6:30, Ferndale Kiwanis Club is having its 40th anniversary party, and the mayor is invited. Hopefully, maybe even bring in a proclamation and say we're good people. or not. The third thing, I'd like to just throw this out. I know we're tight budget-wise, but I would love it if the city could find the relatively inexpensive fee to send our planning director to the Disney Institute training program. It's coming up. It'll be at the Bellwether
Hotel. It's not at Disney last week. It's here.
Well, I think it. No, I'm serious. Guy, what is it? It's $339. And I think it would be a really good benefit for Yori. He's got a long career in front of him. Hopefully all of it here in Ferndale, and I really do think it would serve him well to attend that training conference. It's a great program, fabulous program, and for $339.
What's the registration deadline?
I don't. When's the registration deadline?
January 19th.
Yeah. So I think it would be one of the best $339 we could spend right now, as far as that. And if we could find double that, Sam can go with it.
We're not sending him to Disneyland, just so nobody gets upset.
Yeah, no, that's what he thought.
No, we're just sending him to a casino.
First at Bowen.
No, it's not a casino.
No.
It's not a casino.
Okay, back to Fort Ellen here.
Go with it.
Councilperson Mutchler is next, and then Hanson.
Yeah, I just want to go back to the time thing. I completely support Brent, and I want to thank Brent for bringing that up tonight. And an idea that I had was I'd like to see the mayor have the ability to extend a meeting without a council vote, maybe a one-shot 15 minutes when he needs to do that, because it is his staff that is staying here. And I want to express that I was uncomfortable that we left early. I mean, left before we were finished with our business. I think we'd had 2 very short meetings previous to that long meeting. We got out in that, like tonight, we can get out pretty quick. So I just think we should be willing to stay and finish the things we need to do. Otherwise, the mayor calls us back the next week. Here we are. So that's all I had.
Councilperson Hanson.
Well, I was just going to point out that and I didn't catch it, but Sam wasn't here, and I think Sam would have caught it. There was a motion on the floor. The minute you reconsider, you put the main motion back on the floor. And we never did vote on that main motion. So when we just walked out, we left the motion dangling. You can't do that. But
technically,
that's,
the parliament procedure dies, though. I don't know that there was a
motion. Oh, it died when we left. Correct. Oh, no. Put no question about it. But the point we were making that evening was that there was a motion on the floor. We shouldn't adjourn until that motion has been dealt with. We forgot that we put the motion on the floor because no one had restated it. But that's another question. I'm usually one of the first guys to vote to leave. And no matter what you put in your rules, a majority of the council can suspend the rules and adjourn anytime they want. So you're going to have to get there's going to have to be a mindset among our council that says four of us would like to stay beyond a certain point. I voted to stay in session because I felt the importance of the work we were doing right at that point. I don't always feel that mayor and council reports and staff reports at 9:30 or 9:45 at night, after we've been here starting at 5 o'clock for the workshop, are important. And that sounds blunt, and it sounds, but there's only so much, and maybe it's most of you, all of you except Paul are younger than I am. You probably can absorb more than I can, because I get to the point where I just can't absorb it anymore. And I'm not making good decisions at 9:30 at night after I've been here for 4 hours.
Person Watson?
As someone who was in the audience, it was disappointing for someone in the audience. I know you were tired, but it felt unprofessional because it really did feel like you suddenly just got up and left. And it just felt strange from the audience. It's like, well, okay, they're leaving. And it was very confusing for those of us in the audience. But it was also painful beyond words for some of the speakers to go on for 20 minutes. And I do think people should have a chance, because when you're talking about things that are going to affect them money-wise, I do think maybe 3 minutes is not enough time. But for some of the lawyers went on for 25 minutes, and then there was like 30 minutes, then they got to come up again. And so just a nice balance, because I don't mind staying late, because that really was an important vote. And I think for the people that were here, it just made y'all look bad when you all got up, because you just got up really and left. It was very confusing, like what happened. But honestly, listening to those speakers, even from the audience, is painful. I was ready to chew my leg to get out of here. No offense to Serge.
Well, yeah, I will just go back and address it one more time because Keith hit it pretty much right on the head. Better control has to be done at the meeting. That's pure and simple the solution. We can't let people. It seems to me that the public hearing little thing that we read basically says that if you have an opinion that is the same as a previous speaker, you basically are allowed only to say, I support Mr. So-and-so, and sit down. You're not allowed to go on for 15, 20 minutes rambling on, saying the same thing basically that the previous speaker said. It's just maddening to sit up here and listen to these people drone on and on and on and tell you how I really don't know how to talk. Well, you talked for 27 minutes, thank you, but you didn't know how to talk. It just gets to the point where I get frustrated to the point where, okay, when that is allowed to happen, then I'm not going to agree to sit here for another half an hour and hash something out. I'm going home because the meeting was out of control for over 2.5 hours, and that's not right. If we can't run a tight ship, then we need to figure out how to plug some of the holes in the hull.
The other side of that coin, though, folks, is that it is difficult for someone from the audience that's not a professional speaker to come to that microphone and speak. This is the one chance the public gets a chance to speak to you. And, you know, that door, I'll go backwards. That door goes both ways, Council. There are times sitting in this chair where I'll go, okay, well, why are you council persons asking this question, the same question, 7 times in a row? There are times where I want to go, okay, you've talked enough about that.
And you should have the right to say that.
Well,
you're running the meeting.
You're running the meeting.
You're running the meeting. No. You're not going to hurt my feelings, Gary. It's your meeting to run, and if you're going to run it, slam that door on us if we're getting out of hand. We're human. We can get out of hand as well as the people in the audience can. So if we're talking too much, and repeating too much on the same subject, close the door.
Well, it's your meeting. He's just trying to provide some order.
Well, then, if it's our meeting, then somebody on this account, on this table up here should be running the meeting.
No.
I enjoy the fact that Ferndale has a reputation of having an open and welcoming council meeting. I remember a time when that wasn't the case.
We
tried very hard to move away from that. Councilperson Hanson and Musser.
I think procedurally, when we run into these situations where we're going to have attorneys on opposing sides, which is what we had, we can buy our rules, because they were given 5 minutes and took 20, okay?
Yes.
And then some. And then we had additional folks that were given 5 minutes and took 20 or 25. We weren't quick enough with the clock. And yet I would have not wanted to take the two or three attorneys and experts and chop them off at exactly 5 minutes. And if I'd have been in the mayor's chair, I wouldn't have either. They did have information to share, but it almost got to the point that the longer I talk, the more I'm convincing. And I guess it's their courtroom experience. They go over it 40 million times in different ways. The judge will somehow or other change his mind and go with them. I don't know.
But I'll stop here a second. Is if you go back and look, is when they had what, you know, we granted them the 3 minutes and then we granted the 2 minute extension, and then we actually cut them off. Where they went beyond, where there wasn't a time,
council questions,
is when council questions.
Yes.
So when you question them, I guess maybe that's something is there going to be a time to say when Councilperson Goodrich asks a guest a question? Okay, well, you got 3 minutes to answer that question.
Well, yes, because what they did is we asked a question. In some cases, they were almost yes and no answers, and they used that opportunity.
So there's a big factor we haven't done. That's a big giant one. You say, you can answer Councilperson Goodrich's question. You have 3 minutes to answer.
Well,
yes, no.
No, or you answer the question directly and then sit down. Because what they did is they answered the question directly and then kept going on the stuff that they hadn't been able to put in earlier.
Right.
We haven't ever done that.
I just want to add here that I think we all can agree that the other meeting was kind of a unique meeting, not only from how it played out, but also the subject. The subject is something that we believe is going to be appealed, or it certainly is appealable, and we may be in front of the Growth Management Hearings Board or Superior Court or blah, 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 because we're talking about a lot of money, and whenever there's a lot of money involved, you know, people get litigious. I think in hindsight, it probably was best that we endured all of the discussions and ramblings of the attorneys, if only because they will not be able to stand up in front of a judge or in front of the Growth Management Hearings Board and say, the council made a decision with insufficient information. I wasn't allowed to present the information that, if they would have heard it, they would have come to a different conclusion. When you get in these kind of appeal situations, councils are allowed to make what some people consider to be a wrong decision, as long as you weighed all the factors. You're not going to please everyone, so someone's always going to feel that you made the wrong decision. Where we get in trouble is where we make, you know, decisions that are not based on a lot of information or only one side of the story. And even though we won't be able to stand up in front of the judge and say, wait a minute, he or she or whoever, but they were all able to say all the things they want, at least they won't be able to hold up that specter that they only gave me 3 minutes. And by golly, if they only would have let me go in further, they would have heard just what they needed to hear to make a different decision. So it
still say that, and they will.
Right, but at least we'll be able to counter it by actually having a transcription of the meeting showing that they spent 20, 25 minutes.
Well, I think the other thing is we tried to cram. That meeting should have been virtually a single subject meeting. And we tried to have some other really important things tagged on that, and we were written nearing the end of the year, and I understand why all of that. We ended up having another meeting anyway, mm-hmm. but
But I think when you get down to those kinds of issues where you're going to have a you can anticipate a lot of audience comment, you get through your consent agenda, you get through your open comment period, and the rest of the meeting is devoted to that subject. And you stay away from all of this other stuff.
Yeah, usually on our Tuesday meetings where we sit around staff, we kind of go, okay, we're okay there. This one's long, but it never works out.
Well, we're our own worst enemy. The council members themselves are our own worst enemies. We ask questions that we already know the answers to.
That's a big part.
When we ask a question, and I've done it, and I thought every one of us probably sitting here has done it, where you ask a question when you already know what the answer is. That's ridiculous. Because you're trying to lead them into the whoever's going to respond to that question to see it your way. Well, if you already know the answer, why are you asking the question?
It was a long meeting. And some of the speeches went on a long time. I don't agree with the statement made earlier that it was an out-of-control meeting. It was not an out-of-control meeting for 2.5 hours. I want to make a comment to the mayor. I appreciate it a lot that you let people speak, because we're asking people to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on their property. We're asking the city to maybe spend millions of dollars. I just think that was a huge deal. And if it meant going late, the citizens deserve that from us. They really do. I know it was hard. I actually, my brain, I thought it was going to explode toward the end. It had that, you know, that feeling like too much. But I think we have to step to the plate sometimes to do things like that. I'd rather see the mayor give people more time than to cut short. I'll give a quick example. I remember when I ran for school board, I was told I could do a 3-minute speech for the students. It took me days to come up with a 3-minute speech. I couldn't get it down to 3 minutes. It's hard to do a 3-minute presentation on something that's important to you. Try it sometime. We can talk and talk and talk and talk until Gary shuts us down. But these folks, it's hard to do something in 3 minutes. So I appreciate, and I'd like to see the mayor feel free to do that, especially something that big. It was a big deal.
Mr. Goodrich?
I personally like the public comment. There are times that I'm struggling with an issue, and in the case of this last meeting, with the idea of the wording, and then when one of the other attorneys or something got up and said, oh, it clicked to me the direction I wanted to go. But the reason I'm bringing this up is the last meeting wasn't the first time that this has happened. We did it earlier in the year. We did the same thing where we had a staff member, I think it was Katie, that came to do a presentation, and we all of a sudden said, no, the vote was no, we're not going to continue. And poor Katie had sat through the whole meeting out there waiting for her turn to give the presentation.
It was Wendy,
and then
she had to go all the way home to Mount Vernon.
Yeah, and then we, turn around and say, sorry, we don't want to hear from you, and we're leaving. And so that's why I brought it up, is because not the first time that we've done that to our staff, where we just kind of walked out on them or voted not to continue the meeting and left. And I, like I said, I just don't think that's considerate. A thing to do.
Customer Sumatra, and then we'll roll into it. Remember, we have this is Saturday. We have lots of time for discussion.
Do you want to stop? Customer
Sumatra?
Yeah, just a quick one. I think it was really important at that meeting to let people speak, because I knew that I was likely going to vote in a way that I was likely going to vote in a way that was going to displease most of those people. Based on, I'd been to all the planning commission meetings. I'd read everything. I was open-minded. I wanted to hear them because I wanted them to have another shot at me, because that was a really, really big deal. So I almost feel compelled more so when I have people that are perhaps against something I might be in favor of. I want them to feel like they've got as much time as they need with me. So that was important to me as well as a council member, that I could vote at the end of a time and say, I heard it all. I heard it twice. But I'm still voting this way because I think that's it. Yeah. So.
Okay. Any further council reports?
Move to adjourn.
Well, no, we can't.
No. Staff reports.
Denied.
I don't
know. Staff reports. Treasurer. Sales tax. Good number.
Nothing.
Is there money to send Yuri to
Disney World? Yari has a training budget.
43 days old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
City administrator.
I'm all set.
Planning director.
Nope.
Public Works. Clerk.
Seahawks are going 10-6 next year.
Oh, jeez.
Going to draft?
What's up?
I'll take that bet.
Good taste in water.
Motion to
adjourn.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. We are adjourned.